thankful for all of the letters and the Christmas cards that I receive from radio listeners and people everywhere. And I'm so thankful for that. It blesses me greatly. But I received a Christmas card yesterday that I just really feel in my heart that I need to share with you, okay? For there are many this year, I know you have lost those that you love. And it's hard at Christmas, amen? And so I want you to listen to this wonderful, and the font is like five. Thank you for that. And the Christmas card that she sent, and it's concerning. She says here, Pastor Bill, this is the final gift or the tithe that I'll be sending to your church. It's actually a tithe because it's the first fruits of my husband's money. And she talks about how 10 years ago, that he got right with the Lord, and that he listens to the sermons online, Love Never Fails Radio. He listens to me and so forth. And he chose your church to send money to, and I've continued to do that for his first year after he was gone. Well, I don't know who gives. Do you understand? So I had no idea this was even happening. I never look tithes or offerings. I only know the totals. And it says, she says, thank you for ministering to my husband, who's now in heaven. The reason I said all that is because of what she said in a little note to me. She has lost three people in her family, and one of them, her husband, a year ago. And she writes and says, these losses are teaching me more than they're hurting me. But the sorrow is still heavy. Before the decorations of Christmas are put up and time spent shopping and Christmas cards are thoughtfully sent and joyful parties are attended, we have Jesus. And after all the decorations come down and the gift wrapping is tossed away and the greetings are discarded and all the party cheer ends, Jesus remains. Just as in life, the things and the people of this world, well, they come and go. But Jesus remains. I have three life-sized holes in my heart. The lives of these three people I hold dear who were taken away too soon. And though all the sorrow and through all of the grief, Jesus remains. And with each hole in my heart, Jesus has been there to fill that space so that I am being transformed with a heart full of his love. What a glorious, I could not be put better when you lose those you love. Amen? Amen. What a glorious card. I knew I needed to share. I've already received emails already from different people who said, Bill, thank you for reading that today. And I totally understand. We share their grief. Amen. So with all that being said, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And as we do, I lay my hands upon the children. Lord, we prayed for these children every year, all through the year, I should say. And next Sunday, or actually through the week, we pray for them. But next Sunday concludes praying for over 500 of these kids every day. What a privilege it's been, Lord, for me and for those who do so. Lord, only you can carry them safely, securely into 2024. That's what we hope you do, knowing that, Lord, you love them. And Father, as we celebrate Jesus this morning, the birth of our Lord, he is indeed the true reason for the Christmas season, Father. We pray over the peace in the Middle East. Father, we pray for the children that are suffering in this war. And I pray specifically, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones during this season. They are grieving. I know they are. And Jesus, I know you are comforting them. For you are the God of all comfort, and you are near to the brokenhearted. It is my prayer this morning that every heart be open as we celebrate the Lord's table, knowing that we have already examined our own hearts, Lord. And as we do so, this morning, as I always pray, if we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, if we have grieved, vexed the Holy Spirit, or made him sad in any way, we have been invited to boldly run to the throne of grace, where not one charge is leveled against us. And run there and say, Lord, forgive us. Wash us. Let us stand pure, Lord, in our conscience now as we celebrate your table. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. You know, it's a great thing for us. Oh, my glasses. Man, that was really no wonder I could see so well, you know. You know, it's a wonderful thing for all of us together as a family. Amen. And how wonderful it is for us, the last communion service of this year, and we're all together. It's a Sunday morning. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, of course. But we're here because we know the meaning of what Christmas really is. Amen. And we don't we're not the misinformed. We are the truly informed. You know, I remember several years ago. Maybe you remember this as well, because I was so shocked. The Fort Worth buses, you know how they wrap their buses with like advertisements? All right, Lord, they're really tuned in. All right. Now, and anyway, and what that was wrapped, I was so shocked. It says on there, millions of Americans can live without God. And I was so shocked by that. It was during the Christmas season. And millions of Americans can do without God. And then I thought to myself, well, that's maybe they can. That's why they sing Elvis's Blue Christmas. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you don't know that song? Okay. So the thing is that as we gather this morning, you know, normally as I move into Hebrews, so I can already tell people are going, Hebrews, this is communion. Why are we in Hebrews? Bill, this is Christmas. And how come we're not in Matthew, you know, with the wise men and, you know, maybe the star and, you know, the manger and all that? Well, we're going to be there. But Hebrews, did you know that the text that's before us is an incredible, unbelievable text? Because as we now are celebrating the greatest birth in the history of mankind, you know what's happening? Do you know what happened what happened first in heaven before it happened on earth? Well, you're going to find out this morning if you're in Hebrews, okay? Because what we're going to look at there is actually the conversation that took place between God the Father and God the Son in heaven before God the Father sent Jesus, our Savior, to the earth. One of the great passages here, the incarnation of the Son of the living God. In other words, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It happens right here. So this morning, let's look here, beginning in verse 5. And he uses the word therefore, which takes us back to verse 4, when he talks about it is impossible, it's not possible for the blood of bull and goats to ever take away sin. Never, it won't work. And he says, therefore, because of that, now we're in heaven. Look at this carefully. When he, that's Jesus, when he came into the world, now he's going to quote a messianic psalm. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Keep that in mind. So when he came into the world, he said, who said? Jesus said, Christ said in heaven, sacrifice and offering, O Lord, you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, a physical body, if you will. Let me read the Williams translation, an excellent translation. If you want an incredible translation, purchase the Williams translation. He says this, so when Christ was coming into the world, he said. So Jesus is quoting, can you believe it, the messianic psalm spoken in heaven, already written by the Holy Spirit, Psalm 40, again, verse 6 through 8. Now the writer, who I believe is Paul, he sees Christ speaking, okay? They're in heaven at the very dawn, if you will, of the incarnation. Let's begin now. Verse 5. Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, listen, Jesus came into the world. Jesus has always been. Amen? He is the Alpha. He is Omega. He is the beginning. And he is the ending. He came from one world and he came into another world, our world. And how did that happen? How was Jesus born? Well, that we learned last Sunday, didn't we? The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, okay? There Jesus conceived, if you will, in her womb, from heaven's glory to Mary's womb, loved one. And that tells us, like the Bible says, that the fullness of time had come, okay? Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent from heaven, God sent his son, born of a woman. Now listen carefully. Jesus, the fullness of time means that Jesus had to be born at a divine time, which means God had a divine appointment. Does that make sense? See, he couldn't have been born a day late or a day before. He had to be born at the exact right time. So the Genesis 3:15, the seed of woman, the first promise in the Bible, 4,000 years later, the birth of Christ came to pass. Do you know that Jesus had to be born exactly at the right time? Because he had to enter Jerusalem on the triumphal entry on the exact day prophesied by Daniel. Remember? Oh, how powerful that is. Jesus was born and God sent him at the exact right time. And listen to me, Jesus is going to come back at the exact right time for the church. Amen? And it could be 15 minutes from now. No one can stop it. It is already on God's divine calendar. So the word sent forth means that God sent forth his son on a mission into a horrible, dark, dark, hopeless, lost world. See, Christmas, as we all know, the true Christmas isn't about getting a bunch of junk under your tree. That one day that you get so much you can't even park your car in the garage anymore. Is it about that? No, Christmas is not about presents. There's nothing wrong with getting gifts. Praise the Lord, give it, whatever. But it's not about that. Christmas is not about you. We make it about us, but it's not about us. It's about what God has done for you and what God has done for mankind. That's no wonder Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. How can you even describe the gift of God being born on this planet? Boy, I tell you, the Bible tells us that he was sent to do so much. Let me just give you a few scriptures. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into the world from heaven to a world that hated him, despised him. He was a man of sorrows. He came to his own and his own received him not. He came to this world and they killed him. That's what they did. He came into the world to save sinners. 1 John 4:14, he says that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. Do you know that Jesus wasn't born, the baby born in the manger? He wasn't born to condemn this world. Remember what it says in John 3:17? God said, I did not send my son into the world to condemn this world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus wants everyone saved. Amen? Listen to his own words. Listen to our Lord in John 12:46. Jesus said, I've come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me would not abide in darkness. He says, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now listen. We're going to celebrate communion this morning. We're going to go home. Or maybe you're going to go now visit grandma or grandpa, whatever you're going to do. But you need to know, I know you know this, but listen now. Jesus, our Lord, was born to take your place, to take my place, to take my guilt, to take my sin, to take my death. Amen? That's why he was born. Oh, listen, Jesus was born to die. Well, Bill, that's not happy Christmas. That's a Merry Christmas. Therefore, when he came into this world, he said, Jesus said, sacrifice and offering you, meaning God the Father, you don't desire it, but a body you have prepared for me. Jesus is going to step out of eternity there in heaven. He says to the Father, I know. Sacrifice and offering you don't desire because the blood of bull and goats could never take away any sin. They covered it for another year, but they could never take it away in the Jewish heart, Jewish mind. He says, but Father, you've done something. And I'm going to read from the Amplified. He says, Father, you have made ready for me. God the Father, Jesus speaking, you have made ready for me. He's in heaven. You have made ready for me body, a body. And then it says in the Amplified Version, to offer. What a word is that? A physical body. Can you imagine being God and then being locked into the body, a body, a human body? He is human, you understand, and God. But he's locked into time. The eternal one is locked into time. And I say, dear Lord, and that body, whose body was that? Mary, are y'all with me? What did Mary tell the angel last Sunday when he visited her, told all that Jesus would be? In Luke 1:38, Jesus said, be it to me according to thy word. And it says, and then Gabriel departed from her because his mission was accomplished, remember? And so when we look at this, from heaven Jesus came into the womb of Mary. God came, unbelievable. And then from there to a stable, there in a place called Bethlehem. It says in Luke 2:6, and so it was when they, Mary and Joseph, when they were there in Bethlehem. It says the days were completed for her to be delivered. In other words, for the child, Jesus, to be born. Now, I don't know much about childbirth, except when I was with my wife when she had Thomas. Okay? Now, if you're in that room, you know, we went through the, what do you, back then, I don't know what they called that. I think it was called Lamaze, or is that a race? Is it Lamaze? Oh, I don't know. You know, the breathing, this. I mean, we read books. We did everything. I did everything that book told me. There I was in that room with her, and I was, you got to breathe, honey. She grabbed my throat. Shh. I've never bowed before my wife except that one time. You know, shut up. You know. Now, so listen, do you think that Mary, when she had Jesus, do you think there was like a chorus going? I mean, Silent Night? I don't know. I mean, do you think there was halos everywhere? And they were in a barn. They were in a stable. They smelled dung. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you think that she screamed? Do you think that she sweated? Do you think that maybe her ankles were swollen or back or hurt? Are y'all with me? Yeah. That's how it happened. It wasn't supernatural birth. It was a supernatural conception. And it says, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him, Jesus, the God-man, 100% man, 100% God, the God-man, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, laid him in a feed trough or a manger because there was no room in the inn. So from the throne of God to a feed trough in Bethlehem, he came, Jesus came into the world. He not only created, upholds, and abstains all things by the word of his power, he came in, but there was no room for him. There was no room for Jesus in the womb. Jesus said to God the Father in heaven, oh, you have made me a body. Ready right now to offer. In a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion, and Jesus is going to speak to your heart. You know how he does it? Through the word. Let me give it to you again. Jesus said this, when we take that bread, where he's going to say, take, eat. This is my body. Isn't that interesting? That was the body that God prepared in the womb of Mary. Does that make sense? This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do you know that Jesus came to do the will of God? Not only to die for our sins, but do the will of God the Father. Let me give it to you. In Isaiah 50, verse 5, the Lord God opened my ear. This is about the Messiah. Open my ear, meaning everything he tells me to do, I am going to obey him. Because Jesus was sinless, amen? He says, I opened my ear, O God. He says, and I wasn't rebellious, and I didn't turn away. Meaning I didn't turn away from the cross. I willingly gave my back to those who struck me. That's the scourging, isn't it? He says, and I willingly gave my cheeks to those, and they plucked out my beard. And those who plucked out my beard said, I didn't hide my face when they spit upon me or the shame. Why? Because God sent his son to do his will. He says, here it is, Lord, you've given me a body to offer to do your will. Listen, Jesus, John 1:29, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen? Sometimes people think that God loves us, God loves you because Jesus died. That's not true. That's not why God loves us. Listen, Jesus died because God loves us. Amen? For God so loved. Not just loved. For God so loved the world. Not the rivers and the trees. The world, the people of the world. He so loved the world that he did something. He gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, verse 6, Jesus speaking again in heaven, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, God, or you, Father, you had no pleasure. And then I said, meaning Jesus, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. All the predictive prophecies about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Everything that there, he says, Lord, here I've come to fulfill everything that you've commanded or that's in Scripture. And now, Lord, I am going, Father. I'm going to the earth to do your will, O God. Loved one, listen to me. Our Savior did not come from heaven to this earth to find or to try to discover what the will of God was. Do you understand that? Boy, oh, listen. No, he didn't do that. He came and took on human flesh without sin to do the will of God. Do you know that Jesus Christ, your Lord, my Lord, the Savior of the world, is the only baby born on this planet in all of history that knew what was going to happen to him? Do you understand? In other words, that absolutely knew his purpose and the ending of the purpose in his life. Can you imagine that? And also the only one who ever finished all of it. That's why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Jesus said, I've come to do your will, O God. Let me give you a few scriptures for that if you don't mind this morning. John 6:38, Jesus said, I have come down from heaven. He has always been again. I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to the will of him who sent me, meaning God the Father. John 4:34, my food, Jesus says, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17:4, he says, Father, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. Jesus knew from the moment he left heaven, he was fully aware, loved one, of everything he was going to face on this planet for fallen man. Amen? He knew it all. What began 33 years later after his birth, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating those great drops of blood, what did Jesus say? He said, oh, Father, you know, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But if not, he says, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He completely did whatever God the Father had bid him to do. Listen to me. Jesus willingly suffered for you and suffered for me. When you hold that bread and you partake of that and that cup, would you remember that? Jesus wanted to. Of his own volition, he took the scourging, he took the beating, he took the spitting, he took the rejection. We get so offended today over the littlest of things. When I get offended, and I got offended in between services. No, I got hurt in between services. Do you know what I do when I get hurt? When a Christian hurts me, I think of Jesus. He never once judged that person that hurt him. Even from the cross, he looked down and said, oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We belong to him who died for our sins. If Jesus could take all that for us, couldn't we not take a little bit of junk here? Amen? That, if you do it that way, you don't have a bad day. I'm in a good mood now. But I punched the person, I'm joking. It's Christmas. That was a Christmas joke. Punch, get it? Never mind. Now, look at verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice, offering, burnt offerings, offerings for sin, Jesus said, hey, you did not desire God. No, you didn't have any pleasure in them. Again, blood of bulls and goats can't take away the sin. But then he says, oh, listen, behold, I have come, though, Lord, Jesus is speaking, to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, meaning to remove the legal system of sacrifices, the old covenant, and that he may establish the second, meaning the new covenant. It's Christmas morning. This is Christmas Eve morning. In a minute, Jesus is going to speak to all of us from the Word of God. And he's going to say this, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Listen, you say, well, Bill, God, Jesus came to do the will of God. And let me tell you what that will of God is for this service, for today, for a word for all of us. I pray you get this. Would you look at the next verse, verse 10 with me? Oh, look at the will of God for us. Well, you're talking about a Christmas present. By that will, meaning God's will, we have been sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body, the one that God made for him in the womb of Mary. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Listen, you need to put this into your heart. I mean, this very minute, it is already there because God has written his laws in your mind and heart. Amen? And listen, what it says, we have been. That's past tense. That means it's a past act. It means it's a divine fact. And it also means a present reality. We have been, Christian. If Jesus is your Lord, look at it. We have been what? What's that next word? Dear God, do you not have your Bibles this morning? You're not getting, nothing's going to be under your tree in the morning. Praise the Lord, there's a Christian here. What? Sanctified, set apart for God. Now listen, I want you to get this now. That's talking about a past action in the Greek with ongoing results. It means this, you have, if you're in Christ, you have been set apart to God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and no one can change it, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. Do you understand me? That you've got to get that. It means that you have been totally inwardly cleansed from sins, past, present, and into the future through, again, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now listen. Then it says a word, three words there, once for all. I'm not proficient in Greek, but if you could read Greek, you would explode when you read it about what it's translated for us in English, once for all, because it literally means this. It is absolutely certain. It is totally finished. It can never be changed. You are right now, right this very minute, your position, loved one, by this one sacrifice, you have been permanently made holy forever in God's eyes. And that, this right here, that's not speaking of progressive sanctification. Do you understand? Where you are being transformed into the image of Christ, going from glory to glory. That's not what this is talking about at all. This is talking about an accomplished fact. 1 Peter 1:16, God says, you be holy. That's a command. For I am holy. Okay, a command and a promise, actually. Well, you know what? We are, because of what God has done. It's totally fulfilled. Your position in Christ, I'm talking about position, not the way you feel, not your walk. Your position in Christ right this minute, loved one, is holy forever. It's not unconditional or conditional. It's unconditional. You have perfect standing before God for all time. You are completely, eternally separated to God, and it can never change. But I fell. It can never change. Well, I got in the pig pen like the prodigal. But you got to get out. Do you understand? You can't stay there. It will never change. No one. You come to Christ, and no one can ever snatch you out of his hand. Boy, you better let that be a living thing as you move into 2024. Let that be alive in your heart. Every priest, it says in verse 11, it says, well, they stand, they daily, they offer repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, meaning the blood of bull and goats, okay? But this man, that's our Savior, look at him. Oh, after he had offered just one sacrifice, meaning his blood, for sins for how long? Whoa. Forever. What did Jesus do? He sat down at the right hand of God. Why? Our salvation is complete. Our salvation is finished. Our salvation is sure forever. Christmas means this. Jesus has made a way for man to get back to God. Think about that. Oh, and God has provided a way for all time when you come to him. Verse 13, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Meaning our Jesus now, our great high priest. One day, his enemies will be his footstool. The last enemy is death, okay? But here, his enemies. One day, you're going to see it. I'm going to be there with you in my new body. Do you understand? And you're going to hear every name in heaven, every name on earth, every name under the earth cry out and say, Jesus is Lord. Do you understand? Whether they want to or not, because Jesus truly is Lord. Amen. And I say, oh God, you're so good. You're so good to us, oh Lord. He says he's waiting for that. But watch it. Here it comes again. For by one offering, Jesus, he has perfected, past tense again, has perfected how long? Forever, those who are being sanctified. You've been perfected forever. I mean, I look and say, dear Lord, eternal perfection. That means about your salvation, okay? Well, that's a Christmas gift. In God's heart, in God's mind, right this minute, Christian, you stand. No, when he sees you as perfect as his own son. Why? Because you are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? You're in him, the one who never sinned, that pleased God in every way. Now listen. You say, but Bill, this right here is talking about the ongoing process of sanctification where we are being transformed into his image by the from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit who is working in us. Well, that is a true word, but that's not what this word is saying here. It says you've already been perfected forever in the eyes of God. He's not going to lose you. Do you understand me? If you were born from above, you're not going to be lost. The shepherd will not lose his sheep. Amen? Now, What are we doing, Bill? Well, we have been eternally sanctified. We're just now walking out our permanent possession. How's that sound? That's what we're doing. And the Holy Spirit, also bears witness after he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them. And after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. He said, God says, I'm going to write them. I'm going to make them part of their being because now they're partakers of my divine nature. We're new covenant people. That means we're born from above. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, and look at this verse, 17. It should make us fall on our face. And then he adds, their sins, our sins, our lawless deeds, their lawless deeds. I will what? Remember no more. I beg you in Jesus' name to carry that into 2024 with you. Do you understand what God just said? Because of that one sacrifice, because of the cup we're about to take, the bread we're about to eat as we celebrate this table, I look and I say, oh God, what an incredible promise before us right here. He says, I will not, no more. Hold any sin, anything against you. It will never be brought up again. Do you understand that? God says, I will never bring him back up. What? The adultery, the lies, the abortion, the hate. whatever it is. He said, I'll never, because I punished my son on the cross. He bore all the sins of the world from Adam till the day the church is gone. Do you understand that? He bore it all, every lie, every molestation of children to those who come and repent, every murder. He tasted all of that. He tasted our death. He doesn't want you to taste it. He tasted it for you. He took the full brunt of man's kind sin on that cross. Jesus was born to die. We sing that song, Joy to the World. Do you know joy? That is not a Christmas song. Oh boy, emails. That song is about the millennial reign of Christ, when he's the king over everything. That's what that song's about. It's not, do you understand? We can't sing Joy of the World right now. Oh, we do, but you know what, I like the song. But the world's not going to be in joy until the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign. Do you understand? Oh, listen, he says, I'm not going to ever. Let me do one more thing. This verse is so powerful. Did you know it's a double negative in the Greek? And if it would read something like this. He says, I will never, your sins, I will by no means ever remember them. It will never be brought up again. It is finished. My son has paid your sin debt, the sin of the world. He has paid for every sin, sins that haven't even been committed. Yes, tomorrow. Does that make sense? He paid it all, man. And now, where there is remission of these, where there's, in other words, forgiveness of sin, that remission of the penalty of sin, there's no longer an offering for sin. Why? It's finished. The word forgiveness means to send away. The word forgiveness means to cancel a debt. Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself, and he carried them away with no possible way for them to ever return. Do you understand that? Wow. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, no one can calculate that. Because if you're going east, you'll never be going west. Does that make sense? As far as the east is from the west, he has removed. That means they're no longer yours. He has removed our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities, our want-tos, the times we cross the line. Do you understand? They are gone, and they can never, ever, ever, ever return. Why? Our forgiveness is permanent because that one sacrifice of the one born in the manger was a permanent sacrifice for sin, and no more is needed. Amen. As the ushers come forth now, we're going to pass out the bread. And as they're doing so, let me give you another scripture where it says in Hebrews 9:26 that Jesus, he has appeared. In other words, he was born of a virgin. He has appeared to take away sin. Take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That word, take away, I encourage you to do a word search on that. He has taken away our sin, okay? Whenever Jesus was arrested, and Peter and all his other disciples, whenever they came, and remember when Peter drew the sword and cut off the ear of the servant? And it fell to the ground. What did Jesus do? He picked it up, and I don't know, stuck it back. I don't know, he got it back on there some way. Miracle? Okay, that's the same word. In other words, that ear, was it removed from his body? Okay, the word take away your sins means he has removed those from your body. Do you understand that? That is what he's done, and that's who you are in Christ Jesus. And Jesse's going to sing. I'm sorry, Jesse. It's my fault. There is no place in God's Word that teaches us that we are commanded to remember the birth of our Lord. Do you know why? Because Jesus' birth doesn't save us. His death is what saves us. Amen? And we are commanded to remember his death. And that's what we're doing right now. Listen, Jesus was born to die for us. Guess how much God loves us? Boy, to get him into the world. The way it's unbelievable, the length that God went to for him to save us and to bring Jesus into this world for us. The Bible tells us, and when he had given thanks, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke that bread and he said, he's speaking to us 2,000 years removed now. He said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Could we partake right now together as a family in Jesus' name? Ushers, let's pass out, please, the cup. You know, you can't have the true joy of Christmas if you don't know the truth about Christmas. Amen? And you know, Roy Smith said this. He said, he who has Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree. That's a true word, isn't it? Listen, I know that all of us, and it includes me too, we want to just say, can we not just have one day, just one day on Christmas, one day when we all pretend that everything is okay in the world, everything is okay in our family, but everything is not okay in this world, but we are not of this world either, amen? And we, listen, man, we are citizens of another world. And this world is passing away, thank God, and heaven is our home. Amen? Amen? Yeah, so listen, he said, Jesus speaking, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. don't forget me. Don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget that I have made you because you've trusted in me. Your sins are forever removed. Nothing will ever separate you from God the Father. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Nothing. We're believers, man. And it's not about us. It's what God has done for us. We're all working our way by his power and by his grace. What he's promised us, he will always do. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do something. We're doing something right now. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, and he is coming. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you for this Christmas Eve morning. I thank you for the family of God that's here and present, those that are home, shut in, or whatever, and they're participating with us as well. We give you praise that we've been redeemed, not with perishable things like silver and gold, O God, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So what we do now as your children, we do remembrance of Jesus, our Lord. Let us partake of the cup in Jesus' name. I want to share one last scripture with you before we go home. And that's 1 John 4:7. And I'll be there in just a moment. 1 John 4:7 as we close out our service. I want to close 2023 by saying something to you. I wrote this down in my office. I take notes all the time. I stick notes. I'm weird. I've got them everywhere. And I don't like typing it. I like to go get a piece of, like, postcard paper, you know, the 8x12, and fold it because it's rigid. And that's where I leave all my notes. And you go in there and you'll find them stacked in my little briefcase. And on Monday, I wrote down this. I said, what makes Calvary Chapel such a special place? I said, well, it's not the building. We have a beautiful campus, you know what I mean? But that's not it. What makes Calvary Chapel Fort Worth such a special place? It's not me. That's for sure. But you know what makes Calvary Chapel such a special place are the 1,000 different personalities that say they belong to Calvary Chapel. And I put up with all of them. Some better than others. But it's your uniqueness. It's not your sameness, because we're different, but it's our oneness. Your oneness. It's loved one, listen, it's what you do. Is I get letters from people, like visitors, I've never been to a church that loves. They just love you. And I said, yeah, they do. That's what makes Calvary Chapel Fort Worth so special, is that you really care about each other. You really practice what it says behind me. You believe it. It's in your heart. It's called love never fails. And I know you believe that. Amen? So it's you. That's why it says in 1 John 4:7, beloved, that's us, let us do something. It's a command. Let us love one another. Why? Well, for love is of God. He's the source. He's the originator. And everyone who loves is what? Born of God. You're born again. In other words, that's the evidence of the new birth. It means when you love, that is the truest, highest evidence. Not the gifts of the Spirit. The highest evidence that a person is a Christian is they actually walk in that kind of love. It says, who loves is born of God and knows God. You have an intimate relationship with him. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So a lot of Christians need to grow up. in this, or this is how the love of God was manifested toward us, manifested, made visible, a public visibility, if you will, meaning a baby in a manger, Jesus, made manifested toward us that God has sent, there it comes from heaven again, his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through him. And look at verse 10. In this, what we just read, is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, meaning our sins have been paid by the suffering of another. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. In this we see the love of God. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates, that word means proves, God proves his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? He died for us. Boy, I tell you, God, he proved his love to mankind. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, if our Father in heaven loved us like that, so much that he sent his only Son to pay for the penalty of our sin, the one who knew no sin, look what he says. Well, we ought. That means there's a command there, a must. That's our duty. He says, we also ought to love one another. Not just now, but more in 2024. Amen? That's what it's talking about. Jesus didn't have anything to gain, loved one, by coming to this planet and dying for us. We are the ones that had everything to gain, eternal life and eternal life in heaven. Now listen, I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ. Maybe you've been invited with family. Tomorrow's Christmas and so forth, and you were drug here. I don't really know, but I do know this. The one who was born in a manger, he is coming back. He's coming back. You're going to gamble with that? If you don't know Jesus, you need to get right with him now. And you can certainly do that. Listen, you know, he was born in a manger, but all you have to do, there was no room for him, but he's made room for you. How? Ask him to come into your heart. Just ask him. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't even have to raise your hand. But if you will believe in your heart and say that God raised him from the dead, if you will believe in your heart and say, Jesus is Lord, be the Lord of my life. If you really believe that right now and say that, Jesus, be my Lord, he will save you. He will save you. And you will know that you have been changed. That's what he does. That's who he is. He loves you that much. And all of your sins are now forgiven. Think of that. Jesus has made room for me, and he's made room for you. You know what he told us? Do you remember? He says, let your heart, don't let it be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have never told you, but I go away to prepare a place for you. A place, a home, a place for you, that when I come again, that you may be where I am also. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants right now, to receive us unto himself. Listen, what a great day, what a great year to end upon is this day, even though we have a week left. But listen to me. All I can say as we dismiss this morning is from all of the servant leadership, all the ministry departments, all the pastors, elders, deacons, everybody that serves here, listen, it's been a privilege for me to serve alongside of you in 2023. And I want to also reach out and say to those who listen around the world, it's amazing what God has done here. Those who people are born again online from different nations or whatever. It's amazing. I mean, you know, 17,000 people tuned in last month or whatever. Do you understand? Say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Amen. You know, and I want to also say to all those who listen to Love Never Fails Radio, just like that lady's husband did, who listened to Love Never Fails. You know, all the people that send those kind words and sometimes not kind, but I love you anyway. You know, 25, over, I think it's over 25. We've been on the air now for over a quarter of a century. Can you believe that? Dear God. And for all of those who call Calvary Chapel their home, and all of you that are shut in, some of you in rest homes and other places, that you belong here as well. I just want to say one thing. From my home and my heart to your home and your heart, I bid you a Christ-centered Christmas, and may His presence be so real in your home and among your family. I bid you safe journey, whether you travel leaving today or those that have already left, for a safe return as well. And all of us, that we may walk into 2024 being led by the Spirit of God. I ask it, I believe it in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Let's stand.